Well, good morning, everyone. It's a real blessing to be here with you this morning for this wonderful occasion. Before we actually get to the baptism, I did want to give a little bit of an introduction to it, although I understand that there have been a number of baptisms here at Grace in the last few weeks, so maybe some of this is unnecessary. But remind you that baptism is a sacrament ordained by our Lord Jesus Christ, as Pastor Stuyvesant has just read in the scripture. And it is a sign to show us a number of different things as we go through God's word. That baptism is a sign reminding us of our cleansing of sin by the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. It's a sign of our need as sinners in the grace of our Lord through Jesus Christ, by virtue of our union with Him and His death and His resurrection, that we have died to sin and been risen to newness of life in Him. It is a sign of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon God's people. It is a sign of inclusion of the person baptized into the family of God. And so baptism is a very powerful reminder of God's grace to us in Christ and His wonderful blessings to us. This morning I'd like to briefly speak about an aspect of baptism that often comes up, especially concerning the type of baptism we'll be doing this morning, or the subject rather, and that is baptizing covenant children. And it becomes an issue because not all of God's church does this practice. And although our children do not make professions of faith when they're baptized, they are yet still to be baptized because of what God's word tells us. That the promise of the covenant is for believers and for our children. To explain, we have to go back to Genesis. And in doing so, we're reminded all the way through of the essential unity that we have of the covenant of grace from the beginning up till today. That in Genesis, God called Abraham, and He made wonderful, amazing, seemingly impossible promises to Abraham. And yet by God's grace, Abraham believed. Though he and his wife were elderly, God promised descendants to him and to make him a great nation, among other things. Then we read in Genesis 15, and the Lord took him outside and said, Now look toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be. Then he believed in the Lord, and He reckoned it to him as righteousness. That Abraham was a normal person, a sinner, just like us. And yet, although Abraham had not earned or deserved anything from God, God counted him as righteous simply for trusting in Him and His promise. That righteousness was imputed or counted to Abraham by God's gracious gift alone, through faith alone. That here is the gospel. And in fact, Paul in Romans 4 describes it as such. He says, the words it was credited to him were written not for Abraham alone, but for us also, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. After Abraham was saved, the Lord gave him a sign that he had been redeemed and set apart to God. A sign of God's covenant promises to him. And that sign was circumcision. We read in Genesis 17, This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. Notice that the sign was applied not just to believing Abraham, but also to his household. And it was to be something that would continue to be done throughout the years and the generations. And notice that the sign came after Abraham believed. And yet all males in the household were to be circumcised and receive the sign of faith that Abraham had. The sign was to be given and was a continual reminder of the gracious promises of God and the blessings of belonging to the covenant people. It was a call to have the faith of Abraham and by grace be covered in righteousness oneself, a righteousness they did not earn but was given by God in His grace. And so it pointed ahead to the Messiah Himself who would earn that righteousness by His perfect obedience in God's due time. The covenant of grace, the gospel itself, is the same across the Testaments. But when the long-promised Messiah arrived, as Pastor Jeff read earlier, we find that He changes the sign of inclusion in the covenant people from circumcision to baptism. Jesus commanded in Matthew 28, "All authority has been given in me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And later on, the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 2 about that connection and the replacement of the signs. He says, "In Him you were also circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." And so, baptism replaces circumcision. The sign has changed. And yet our children still have an interest in the covenant, a place in the people of God, and the right to the sign of it, just as Abraham's household did. That has not changed. And so while we baptize adults who come in from the outside and make professions of faith and respond to the gospel, we also continue to give the sign to children of believers, that they have not been excluded or somehow have less blessings than Old Testament children of believers. As Peter says in Acts 2, "Repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." The sign is given to the children of believers because they belong. And as the gospel goes out in the book of Acts, what we would expect then is for new believers to be baptized, and we would expect households to be baptized. And that's what we find. For example, Acts 16, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul, and her household was baptized. Exactly what we would expect. And so the sign is given to believers and to their children. because it is a powerful reminder that God still works through families, although He is by no means limited to that. But we must be careful. The grace shown in the sign of baptism is not tied to the moment it happens. There is no magic that will be performed today that automatically dispenses grace. It never has been the way it works. It never will be. Sadly, many people take it that way, but that is not biblical. Many folk baptized as children, and many baptized as adults for that matter, never take hold of Jesus by faith. For the sign itself does not save, and we dare not depend upon or count upon the sacrament to reconcile us to God. The sacrament was never given as a substitute for faith. Rather, it is a call to faith. Salvation comes by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And personal repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is called upon from all of us to be reconciled to God. And so baptism calls our children as they grow up in Christian homes and in the church family, and as they hear the gospel week to week from the pulpit and in the homes, that they are to respond to that gospel and embrace Christ by faith themselves and come to know His wonderful salvation. All of us have an active role to play this morning, improving our baptism, as the Catechism puts it. And there are a number of things that the Catechism mentions, but among them are coming to faith in Christ ourselves, if we have not yet done so, of dwelling on the blessings that we have in belonging to Christ, in being saved by His grace, in being washed from our sins by the blood of Christ, of being strengthened in our struggles against sin, as the sacrament reminds us that we belong to Him by His grace, and fully live out the blessings of what it means to be part of the covenant people, part of the family of God, that He has saved us as individuals into a family to be helps and encouragements and blessings to one another. We do not go through this life alone. We go through it together. And what a wonderful blessing that is.